Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of March, recording at 9:24 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. In stock markets, Japan soft in here today. And I noticed that the second section and also the banks index, you can see those in the library, of course, they were easier in here today. And that doesn't bode well. That suggests that rather than challenging the highs, we're going to see further ranging and quite possibly a test and even breach of the lows that we've seen down around 15,000 on the Nikkei. Now, European markets generally steady, particularly FTSE. I see the Swedish OMX index. And Wall Street, another bravura performance here. I hesitated a little bit as I said that. Good gains by the Dow, holding sort of two-thirds, three-quarters of the day's gains of 43 points, moderate and modest gains. S&P a little higher, but they've done well, pushing into new high ground and actually maintain and extending a little bit. But, and this may be important, the NASDAQ index slipped in here today, down 0.5%, but that was the biggest percentage move on the day. And I noticed that the futures, June futures, are down 14.5 points in after hours trading. I maintain that Wall Street really doesn't maintain or extend a run without support from the NASDAQ, without confirmation by the NASDAQ. So that needs to be watched a bit. Okay, government bonds, short covering in here today. And in currencies, this was important. Dollar got hit again today, taking out its early March lows on the dollar index. And metals mostly steady. Some interesting action. Gold, for instance, recovering from a shakeout to close up on the day. It was down $6 at one point, at least on the future, but actually managed to close with a gain. So that was impressive. We also had some fairly good action in the other metals as well. Okay, let's go back to the stock market cycle here. And what we have seen is a peeling off from the uptrends, global uptrend, of the Middle Eastern stock markets. They were the ones that I've described on several occasions as the only really genuine bubble that we had in stock markets. And we had also seen some of the emerging markets, by no means all of them, but one sector we had seen weaken were the European emerging markets, and some of the South American emerging markets. And we've had a little bit of underperformance by some of the Asian markets, but the European and U.S. Major developed country stock market indices had all remained really quite firm. Okay, the U.S., albeit within either ranging patterns or with a most gradual overall upward bias, but nevertheless an upward bias. But what the point I'm trying to make here is that markets that were regarded as risky, particularly the Middle Eastern ones, have seen quite a shakeout. I don't think that they can go back and test their highs, let alone extend those moves, until we actually see much, much stronger energy prices. Energy prices have been inching up in here, more than inching up in some cases, such as gasoline, but more on that in a moment. Among the developed country stock markets, the only major loss of form, and it's very much in the nature of a rather narrow trading range, we see in Asia, but that looks, I beg your pardon, in Japan and South Korea within Asia. Now, they had been hot performers, and I have described Japan as being a bellwether since last July. So that's potentially quite important in terms of the timing of the whole overall stock market cycle. But it must be said, and I do emphasize this point elsewhere, that while I have been very cautious in here, and more so in terms of opening up some short positions prematurely in some of these stock market futures to hedge my core investment longs, which I have no intention of selling, that the point I must emphasize again is that the European and North American indices remain steady. Okay, I have talked about the utilities index showing top formation development, and that is important also, but when we net it all out, the bulls still have the upper hand in here. It's not as strong as it was. It's nowhere near as strong as it was at the end of last year and the beginning of 2006, but they still have that upper hand. And the key factor in here is, of course, liquidity, as it has been very much for the last 3 years. Now, there is a lot of talk about that liquidity gradually contracting. And GAFCAL people have said that it's clearly contracting. My guess is that they're overstating that. But we know that Japan's moving away from the accommodative easing and that they will gradually withdraw liquidity from the system. So that's, in terms of Japan at any rate, that's taking a powerful tailwind and turning it into a modest headwind. And then, of course, we have short-term interest rates rising elsewhere. And therefore, we could see that start to affect markets in the next few months and have the effect of a further monetary tightening as you get a bit of a retreat to cash and less volatility of money. So all said and done, no need to panic in here, but I don't think it's a time to be an aggressive bull in stock markets. I think one can certainly ride out this correction from a long-term perspective, and that's very much what I intend to do, of course, with my investment portfolio. And in terms of the US and Europe, it's premature to put on hedge shorts in those markets. But bottom line here overall, say I would repeat, this is not a time to be an aggressive bull. And if there's anything that you're worried about, maybe that's a time to think, well, either lighten there or put in a stop, put in a relatively tight stop to protect yourself against profit erosion. Okay, moving on to the government bonds. Now, I've been talking about them being a little bit oversold here in the short term, as of other people. And today we got some genuine rally here. Well, less in the JGBs, but I'd be surprised if they didn't emulate what we've seen here in Europe and in the US today. I actually increased my treasury bond short a little bit on that strength, and that's back at an interesting level, as you can see on the charts. Now, I had said before opening some of the short positions that I have in that sector, and I opened them a bit late in the overall decline. And the reason I opened them a bit late in the overall decline, you know, I would say I'm one of the bigger long-term bears in this sector. But I felt that if we saw the medium-term correction, and to me that's at least a 50-50 bet, could be a good deal more than that, that that would lend some support to the treasury sector, and I felt that it the best part of the eventual move would come later rather than sooner. But then they started to break, led by JGBs, and so I didn't want to be left out of that move. You know, go on talking about it since June 2003 onwards, and then to miss the move. You know, I've been in and out from time to time, and in there taking some mostly small profits in by shorting the bonds. So I didn't want to be entirely out of that sector when it was starting to move. So thus the positions, but they're not aggressive positions here overall. And how will I actually play it? Well, I resisted the temptation to just, you know, quickly grab my Bund Profit, which is the one that I shorted first. So I'm willing to risk a little bit of profit erosion in here and more time in a ranging pattern overall. But bottom line for everybody else, if we get follow through on this rally next week, then that would suggest that we're back into the top formations and going to extend those patterns for a while longer before we get the next down leg overall. Conversely, and if we were to see weakness tomorrow and next week, then that would be reaffirming the downward trend that we've seen in bond prices recently. In other words, the upward trend in yields for that sector. Okay, U.S. dollar. This is interesting action in here, and it has a lot to do with perceptions, crowd perceptions regarding short-term interest rates. And the crowd is nervous here, and they spend a week or two saying the Fed's going to go on raising rates for longer than people think, maybe even up to 5.5%. And then we get a little bit of soft data, and they say, well, no, 5's going to be the ceiling, and maybe even 4.75. And the dollar moves accordingly. And today was one of those days when the inflation figures came in lower than had been expected. That's because of that last dip in oil when it got down to 60 once again. And therefore, people are now not so hawkish in terms of the U.S. short-term interest rates and what the central bank will do. Well, this is going to wax and wane, isn't it? And that leads to the mostly ranging pattern, which is why I took the cautious move of covering my euro dollar long. Selling my euro dollar long. I'm in here today, taking that profit. It's a good move. 121.81 we see right now, and the dollar slipped down to 128.92 against the Swissie. That's almost as good, and we've got the dollar weakening against the yen, not a huge amount, but 116.80 as I speak. But everything looks like overall top formation development, but as I've said, it's a type 3 top, and it's in other words ranging time and size, and I would expect a ranging decline rather than a sharp decline. The sharp phase of the decline will probably come towards the end of the move, as is so often the case. And in terms of metals, I'm a cautious bull in here at this stage. I'm a major, major long-term bull, but cautious here in the short to medium term, particularly if stock markets weaken, which they haven't been doing recently. And because stock markets have been steadier, I think that's one of the reasons why the metal prices have actually been steadier as well. And I have to mention some of those mining shares in that context. You know how many bearish comments we've had on the mining companies. Well, my goodness, look at the piece on Billiton in the subscribers area today. That really is something, and quoting the chairman of Billiton, well, you'd expect him to be bullish. But you know, when the share is selling at 10 times future earnings, and we have people talking about a bubble in mining shares and sell the sector, and some of them were saying that a year, even 2 years ago as well, and they've been absolutely star performers. And as the CEO of Billiton points out, you'd have to have metal prices actually fall off a cliff here for these shares to be overvalued at today's levels. And I don't think metal prices are going to fall off a cliff, although some ranging consolidation reaction by some of the ones that had become overextended would hardly be surprising. But you know, they don't have to range for all that long either. And since I remain a long-term bull, I expect, as I've said before so many times, that most of the surprises will be on the upside. Copper, for instance, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, sell copper short? And copper's okay, it's ranging right now. So in that sense, it's lost upside momentum, but it's pretty steady within that range. And the energy sector, last but not least, here, natural gas, edging higher. I don't want to get too excited about this because I had, as I had seen a lot of damage into to the medium term, short to medium term trend, as indeed had some of you. And but technically, this looks encouraging to me. It's a question of do we get this market edging up and then a sudden spike upwards as we trigger some large stop formations, or is it going to be messing around in a ranging basing stage? Well, obviously, we'd all prefer the former, or I certainly would at any rate. But psychologically, I've prepared myself for the latter. But natural gas is known for its spikes, and I'm not well. I'm enjoying the recovery, I'll put it that way. But it's got a way to go before I recoup what this year's natural gas trades have cost me in terms of profit erosion on gains from the previous 2 years. Okay, gasoline very firm in here today, highest since early last October. Now that's kind of not supposed to happen in terms of most people's script. Again, I've been emphasizing that this sector is, while in a medium-term correction, and it was a predictable medium-term correction, that we're on the lower side of the activity during that correction. And crude NYME 63.54 here in the after-hours trading as I speak. So, you know, steady-ish overall, and this remains a big long-term bull market. Okay, folks, run on rather too far, so I'll just wrap up and say once again, all the best.